faces and not shadows.
Okay, you are ready to go.
Thank you very much. All right, I want to welcome everybody here to the Fire and Emergency Services Committee meeting. It's Tuesday, August 8th at 2020. We are starting at 5:36 p.m., a little delayed from the previous important meeting. So here in the Community Camera Park Community Center Social Room at the CHD. General Manager, would you please call the roll?
Director Wolfson?
Present.
Director Aston?
And you. Public testimony will be received on each item as it is called. Principal parties on each side of an issue are allocated 10 minutes to speak. Individual comments are limited to 3 minutes, except with the consent of the committee. Individuals shall be allowed to speak on an item only once. Members of the audience are asked to volunteer their name before addressing the committee. The committee reserves the right to waive said rules by a majority vote. So we move now to the adoption of the agenda. Anybody in the public or committee can speak to the agenda if there's any questions, adjustments, or motion.
I move we adopt the agenda if there are no comments.
Okay, hearing no comments, we have a motion to adopt. I'll second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right, so we have adopted the agenda. Now the approval of the conformed agenda for the previous meeting. So we had
there isn't one.
Yes. So we didn't have one last month.
Oh.
So moving past that.
That, right.
Not a problem. Move now to open forum, where members of the public may speak on an item not on the agenda that falls within the responsibilities of the committee. So if there are members of the public here, do you have anything to speak to the committee about not on our agenda this evening? Okay. So we'll close open forum and move now to department matters. The one item there becomes a review forward to the Board of Directors regarding the revision to the fire prevention specialist position.
Please.
Job description. There we go. All right. So Chief Martin is not here. Chief Richards is not here, so it's going to be you, sir. All right.
So the only adjustments are the ones that Callan had in here. It's highlighted in red there, you can see it. And they just struck those few line items, and that is it. Those are the only adjustments that they've made.
Yeah.
Unless there's something else that Callan called you and talked to you about.
No, and I think it was more of a recruitment. You know, they just really thought that there would maybe greater number of people that would apply for the position if the required education and the preferred skills were a little bit less. Also, they do so much on-the-job training that they felt that even if somebody, if it was the right person that came forward, these are skills that could be taught and certifications that could be obtained.
Okay. So taking it out of the required education experience, but it would be remain something that would be added to the position or trained for if they didn't come with it.
Right.
Now, one question I want to have based on our most recent experience, I don't think there was anything written into the contract with a previous employee about training, because we provided training, we paid for training, and then they moved on to another position. I would wonder about adding to a new contract with somebody that any training that's given would need to be repaid if they don't stay in the position for a certain period of time.
We could certainly
I'm really not interested in hiring somebody else, training them, and they're gone that quickly.
We can talk to Kellen.
Typically, the district puts together an offer letter. You know, that's very typical for us, is we put together an offer letter that basically cites the step that they're coming into, whether they can vacation. It really outlines the wage and compensation to that. And then any expectations. You will be working at this office. You will be, so that it kind of provides framework so that there is an expectation of this is going to be your job. This is going to be where you work. This is who your, you know, who your supervisor is. So we do have training and have outline training in that, and we can set up those expectations also. And you can do it, some people do it a couple of different ways. You know, they either have the new employee pay for it and then we reimburse you after a certain time, or we can do it in the reverse where we pay for it, and then there is a some sort of commitment that they're here for a year or something like that.
Yeah, I would really want to see that in this next round. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I guess the only question I have is, why would we... I can understand the idea of trying to reduce what the requirement looks like so it's not a little less intimidating for the pool, but I'm assuming that we want that to be a requirement.
Which one is that?
Well, so the required education and experience we crossed out must obtain CSFM Community Risk Educator within 12 months of hire and successful completion of task within 24 months.
Those, that's just to help retain the personnel so that they only just signed off and then they're looking for other jobs, give them more time.
But we would still be asking this training of anybody that gets hired, correct?
Yeah, there are certain trainings that they need
yeah.
to be seen. Yeah.
So, what would we put? I recognize this is a job description versus a job posting. Would we put that in the job posting that this training would be provided within, you know, rather than a requirement, but that it almost becomes an incentive because we want to do it. And then that, when a job offer comes, that's when the explanation is we'll provide this, but. You have to stick around for a couple of years, or you have to pay some of this back if you go to another agency. So I'm wondering if in the posting, those things can become incentive rather than requirement. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Something that we would give them as an employee because we need it from them. And I'm throwing that out for question and consideration too. If you have any response to that, general manager.
Yeah, I'm. So we've got. So if we go down this required education and experience, minimum of 18, school diploma, California driver's license, must have hazardous materials first responder awareness training within 12 months of date. Is that because of the fire marshal duties that this person supports?
Yeah, and they're just out in the field, and if they come across something, at least they have just the FRO responder. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They have an idea of what to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's an 8-hour class.
Yeah.
It's an 8-hour class.
Yeah,
and
so it's not any kind of a burden at all.
So the community risk educator is a higher, more intense class? I guess what I'm trying to figure out is why was the community risk educator dropped and not the hazardous materials?
Now that's just something I'll have to ask Callum.
Okay.
Are they going to be doing inspections?
Yeah.
So as an inspector going out at occupancies, they need to be aware of hazardous materials because they're inspecting on behalf of looking at certain thresholds of hazardous materials. The inspector one, which, and I didn't talk to Callum about this, but it makes sense to me because he kept the inspector one certification there, which would be your core classes to walk through a building and do the professional inspection according to the fire code. Whereas the fire and life safety educator or the educational is more a public education pathway of how to stand in front of a group of kids and maybe deliver some fire
okay.
safety messages. So the core functions that they're going to do of the highest threat level according to the fire code then is the fire inspector one certificate curriculum, which is four
mm-hmm.
classes. So I think it's almost like one's a need to have and one's a nicer to have.
Right. And probably...
And I know Cal well enough to know he knows that background there.
Right.
I did
yep.
a brief 3 years as a fire marshal, which was relatively painful.
So the reminder is the need to have is...
The hazardous materials.
The hazardous materials awareness is important for somebody walking into an occupancy,
right.
looking at chemicals and
right.
understanding what's a problem.
But there is not another need to have for this role.
Not if they're going to do on-the-job training, it would appear that they're going to go towards a fire inspector one certificate pathway.
And I'm not asking that question as an entry level. I'm asking what they'd be working toward once
yeah.
they're in that position. So the need to have is the hazardous materials. The next need to have,
fire inspector one.
Okay,
I'm sure that's a pathway. And yeah, I'm not asking to have
so
fire, but
so I'm talking to Callum right now, and
okay.
he says it's because the curriculum is getting taken away, and it's nearly impossible to find that class.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So they're changing the curriculum of the class.
Got it.
Whatever they're going to change it to in the future.
Got it. Okay.
So that's one.
All right. So just to pull in that for now, but Fire Inspector 1, wherever that is, becomes the new, not a requirement to hire, but a requirement for completion in the position.
Yeah, he's looking, yeah, they can work towards that. That opens up the pool that you can hire.
Okay. And at that point, I would still ask the question, would it be helpful to us to put that in the job description as an incentive piece? This will be provided at the end.
If they can find the class, like I think it.
Well, Fire Inspector 1, it sounds like that one is available. It's the other one that's no longer available.
So yeah, it was the community risk educator.
Okay, so Fire Inspector 1's available.
Fire Inspector 1 is something that they can look at.
Because I know we're posting it right now.
Yeah.
And if that's something that becomes an incentive to draw somebody who would like to get that training, and then that allows us to put into the job offer, you need to be here for 2 years or whatever that is a reasonable request. So we get back our investment. I would say there's a minimum of 2 years. Minimum. That's kind of standard in my experience, and that we get back the return on your investment in these 2 years. So those are my only questions on the job description at this point. We'll open up to public comment or questions. Anybody in the public? Okay. We'll bring it back to us, unless there's any other comments or revisions on that.
Nope.
Then this is just a forward to the board of directors.
Yeah, we'll take this to the board of directors, and then what I'll try to do is have Callan and or Clinton kind of have a more robust SAC report, calls out some of those things, the class is not available or something like that.
Yeah.
And then I'm putting this on the consent calendar.
So yeah, so there the report, the staff report for
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
If we can include those things, that would save some of the questions.
Okay. Yes. Save it from being pulled off.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. All right, that was our one department matter piece. Now we move to staff reports. So we'll start with fire department report for July.
All right, so from June 18th to July 15th, we had 2 vegetation fires, 2 structure fires, 12 auto misfires, 5 vehicle accidents, 132 medicals, 5 hazardous conditions, and 51 public assists. The month-to-month was a decrease of 4.5%. Yearly was 22% decrease, and year-to-date was a decrease of 4.5%. For the medic unit, Medic 89 had a total. Yep.
Just a quick interjection while you're there. Any general observations about that's a significant decrease from one year over another. And it's a slight decrease. It's not significant, but we're going down. Any general observations on that or just?
Probably Medic 49 has the medic unit coming back would be the biggest thing that like changed our numbers, because that's 130 calls, 100 calls a month.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe a little bit less than that. I think it was 30, might have been 32 calls a month for the medic unit.
That's right.
That was added.
That
so,
last summer.
Yeah, so that was that decrease from last year.
Okay, thank you.
Medic 89, the total response by medic unit for the first week was 47, second week was 51, and the third week that we have on here is 62. We don't have the fourth week because the JPA, Christy, the administrator, executive director, she was out on vacation, so we didn't get that last week stats from her, so that's why. The Battalion 5 vehicle maintenance, we're at 0 for the start of the fiscal year, and rental incomes were at, we had 1 for engine 388 already for $8,097.92. That's our only rental that we've had so far for this fiscal year. I believe there's some more coming in though. It sounds like we're looking at renting out the utilities to go down south to help with some of the things that are going on down south right now, fires and funeral services going on. Some incidents that we had last month were on 7-1, Engine 88 was dispatched with a vegetation fire. They had a fire that was 30 by 50 upon arrival, and then they were able to extinguish the fire with the help of the time 2711, who had coverage that day, engine 88 and engine 2751, and the Red Hawk crew and prevention arrived at the scene to investigate. the fire needed extra cleanup, so the following day they had Brownsburg crews come and do some repair work for free and kind of clean up the area, cut some trees, and spread out all the vegetation. On 7-6, they had a fire at Baskin Robbins, which is a fire in the bathroom. Crews were able to extinguish that. Minimal damage to the business and occupancy. On 7-4, we had another vehicle into a structure. Engine 88 found a single vehicle that crashed into the covered patio. And the patient was treated and transported. The two tenants were notified of the damage, and they were able to shore up and remove the vehicle and leave the occupancy. And then lately we've had another structure fire just last week, and yeah, I'm sure you've seen a significant activity report for that. And so crews did a great job on that and were able to save the structure without significant damage to the structure.
Was that the Oak Leaf one?
Yes. And that'll be on next month's report.
I also saw in the Mountain Democrat today that y'all went down to El Dorado Hills and assisted with a fire down there like yesterday or something?
Yep, I believe that they had a residential fire.
And a firefighter was injured. It wasn't one of ours, was it?
No, it was one of ours.
Okay.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
And this doesn't include the response on Los Santos either?
No, that's not. That would be on the next one.
Just as an information piece for committee and for community, can you give us just a little detail on that Los Santos event to understand scope?
I wasn't on phones. I don't have too much information on the Los Santos fire yet. That was the one that it was a fire out on the back deck, and I think it went into the structure.
Yeah, the Mountain Democrat said that it was a porch fire that spread to the house next door and caused significant damage to the other house.
Yeah, so Callum was going to see that one. It was a fire in between the two houses, and then it impacted both structures.
My understanding, there was 11 engines. And so that because it was two structures and required a staffing for both, both events at that point, because you have two at that point.
Yeah, so he had to order additional resources when he was on scene. I believe he did an initial 3 engines.
Questions or comments from committee or public on report there?
Have you gone over the fire prevention?
Not yet. That will be next.
Okay.
I did want to ask, just to continue to follow up, how is our medic unit doing now? Again, we're spread back out. I know it's been a little while, but how is our medic unit holding up now that we're back to 8?
We're still operating the medic unit just fine. We are short for staff currently. So we're working with that, and the additional overtime that's created from that.
All right. And then we have the fire prevention inspections.
Yep. So Callan had a total of 17 inspection hours, 24 violations, and 18 corrected violations. The Cal Fire Ponderosa hand crews were able to clear 75 overgrown hydrants and did some work around the community as far as like clearing curbs and things like that, corners that are overgrown. Grousberg crews have assisted the CSD parks in clearing the disc golf course and some of their other properties. And then the fire prevention specialist job is posted online.
How long has that been posted?
2 weeks now.
Yeah, 2 weeks, yeah.
Any traction?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Actually, yeah.
Any questions from public?
It really has helped having that extra hand crews, right? The pump.
Yeah. The firefighter hand crews.
And I just want to say thanks a lot for clearing those hydrants and stop signs and
The one nice thing about the Ponderosa hand crews is we can use them in and around the community, and they can split up, and they're kind of able to be self-sufficient.
Yeah.
So. Now they're just on for the season, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Were they the ones that were at Jim Hall?
Yep.
Okay.
Same crews.
Okay. Anyway, thank you guys for what you do. I appreciate it. I think you're not that anyway.
I have a silly question, because I'm new to this. What's the Growlsbrook crew?
Inmate crew.
It's an inmate crew.
Yeah,
okay. Where from?
CCR crew from Growlsbrook Camp, which is up in Georgetown.
Okay. Yeah, I'm new to this.
There are
I kind of guessed that was what it was, but I wasn't sure.
They're basically our parks crew.
And they assist the district on various projects, anywhere from weed abatement to some of the LLADs. There's any kind of groundwork cleanup that needs to happen in the district. And there's other agencies and districts that utilize that as well.
Do we pay for that?
We pay for it, but it is a minimal cost.
Okay.
Significantly less than it would be to.
That would expect, yeah.
Hire any other business or agency.
Cool.
Any other questions from committee? Okay. So with that, got the reports. Now we move to, fire report, fire prevention. Now, number four, the El Dorado County Emergency Services Authority. A notification sent to cancel agreement for the ambulance services. So, General Manager, could you give us an update on that?
Following up that it was done, I understand that there was a special meeting of the board to decide on next steps. For the JPA.
Okay. So then that's all we have at this point.
Yeah.
In terms of. Mm-hmm. Okay. Did they give any kind of timeline for?
No, because she, when I had talked to her, they had not had the special board meeting yet. And I haven't heard of an outcome of that special board meeting, but I'm sure that they have put into place their process and.
It's tomorrow morning.
Okay, yeah. So the board hasn't met yet.
With the release of an RFP to the internal agencies, and I believe they gave a 30-day turnaround notice time. Yeah. It's all publicly noticed, so you could read it too. It's not secret. Mm-hmm.
All right, so with that, we move now to items for future committee agendas. Anything coming up on the radar we have to bring back next month? Normal updates.
I don't have anything. Clinton, do you have any? Have anything coming up? Okay.
It would probably happen naturally, but just asking for update then on the fire prevention specialist posting and progress of that as well. Thank you for the rental report that's helped us to track that as well, along with these and the maintenance pieces as well. I think I saw it in the budget and admin committee agenda discussion around the contract for the.
I can share that with you. I don't feel like I would be sharing too much. The fire engine purchase agreement. I contacted the provider to ask them what the penalty would be if we canceled our purchase agreement. And it would be 2% or about $8,000. So very low cost penalty. But there is a thought that this engine is a value, resale value potentially, or as we move forward with the annexation discussions that there may be value to another fire agency. So I think at this point, my recommendation is to just move ahead with this purchase agreement, and I think that in one way or another, it'll be beneficial to the district. There's value there. I think that the new fire engines, if you were to take that engine today, the costs are probably $100,000, $50,000 to $100,000 more than what we're paying for it. So.
Okay. Thank you for that. Any other items, Director Wilson?
Oh, question. The special committee that's meeting with the other agencies, is that something we get an update here or at the whole board meeting? Or?
Yeah, there will be an update that as an ad hoc committee would be part of committee report outs next week.
Okay.
Hey, Dad.
So yeah, I'll make sure I get that on the agenda. Thanks for bringing that up. And the only item to take the board of directors then would be the revision of the job description for fire prevention specialists. Okay. So with that, we move now to matters to and from committee members and staff. Anything from committee members? Anything else from board?
I don't have anything.
I will one report. I asked the question because I wanted the official piece. I did get to go out and actually visit the fire site over on
Los Santos.
Los Santos, thank you very much, the next day. And
it was a big loss.
It was a significant event and impressive that it happened. The response happened as quickly as it did. I was grateful and I learned a lot just looking at the event and getting some education on here's what you see, here's what happens, here's why this went on, here's what to look for. But I'm grateful for the opportunity to see that as well as just appreciating even more what our people do. Because I know everybody else was a part of that response as well. So thank you. So there you go. That's all I have to report at this point. Other than what we'll report next week from the ad hoc committee report from our meetings last week. Anything from, yes, sir?
In conjunction with the ad hoc committee that's going on, is there also the RFP generation going on?
There, we're not taking next steps on any sort of new request for proposal. I believe that what Mr. Ashton reported at the board was that the fire agencies that we're talking about with annexation, they were really not interested in talking about a request for proposal. They were really talking about annexation, and so that's why we're going down that path. Not that we wouldn't, if you know, we don't know where the road leads with these annexation discussions. If that was to somehow not move forward, would we reconsider, you know, a request for proposal? Certainly, we would go back to the drawing board and look at all of our options. But at this point, it's not anything that's being actively pursued.
Okay. But the RFP is not even on the table in this process, is it?
Not at this time. It's always an option for us.
So that absolutely would
It is on the table in the process should the annexation process or discussion not happen. And that's down the road. That would be
RFP can't be on the table, Eric, because you'd be exactly where you're at now. Another fight. It has to be annexation. However, I do realize that there is a chance that LAFCO could say, you guys aren't financially solvent. I know that.
Yeah, and so it's there down
really,
the road, but these are the other steps that have to happen.
RFP cannot. Yeah, it can't happen.
So part B, I just wanted to say, I'm really happy to hear that you got the opportunity to go out and see what they do and why they do what they do and how they do it. Because that education, there's no way sitting behind a table you can get that education. And almost every board member would learn something if they had the opportunity to go to the scene and see what's going on. So I'm glad you took that up.
Thank you. Thanks for doing that. I was grateful for the opportunity. All right. So unless there's anything else from committee members and staff, our next piece is adjournment. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So do you adjourn?
Second that. And so we will adjourn at 6:04 p.m.
What's last, folks?